Welcome to the 24/7 World Radio Podcast on this May the 3rd, Saturday, 2025. It's Brother Eric John Phelps coming with my guest, Stephen Drake, as we continue to have these broadcasts and podcasts and his presentation on his most excellent book yet to be published, which is Jesuit World Order. And I'm astounded at all the work that he's done and all the wonderful links he's made. And this is going to be truly a book of the 21st century. So, Brother Stephen, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Brother Eric. And hopefully we'll be able to get through this without audio interruptions as we had last week. This will be our 53rd broadcast together. And as you indicated, we've been taking a look at my upcoming book titled Jesuit World Order, the subtitle of which is The History and Destiny of Man, Explored Through the Lens of KUF-19, using the code word. This is going to be our seventh broadcast reviewing material from Chapter 11, titled The Great Reset, Communism Meets Fascism for a Digital Dark Age. In the last episode, we continued our survey of the report from Iron Mountain and looked at how the New World Order stooges create a synthesis by utilizing the left versus right Hegelian dialectic. Today, we're going to pick up where we left off last week before we started having connection issues, and we'll be exploring the trend of global communism. Because socialism is unbiblical and incentivizes laziness and unproductivity, it is ultimately antichrist and is only capable of producing mediocrity. This is in stark contrast to so-called Protestant work ethic, which comes from the Bible. And in seeking to unpack just what exactly this entails, our first scripture we'll be looking at for today is Ecclesiastes 9:10, which reads as follows. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. In like manner, Ephesians 6, verses 5-8 read, Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Because 1 Corinthians 7, verse 21 says, He that is called being free is Christ's servant, or doulos, slave. This verse reflects how all believers should pass their time sojourning here on the Lord's flat earth, knowing that this place is not our home. And of course, we would appeal to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9-10 and 13-16 on that point. Thus, we are instructed in Ephesians 5, verses 15-16, See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Regarding this verse, Albert Barnes in his commentary states, Redeeming the time. The word rendered here as redeeming means to purchase, to buy up, from the possession or power of anyone, and then to redeem, to set free, as from service or bondage, as it's used in Galatians 3, verse 13. Here it means to rescue or recover our time from waste, to improve it for great and important purposes, because the days are evil, because the times in which you live are evil. There are many allurements and temptations that would lead you away from the proper improvement of time, and that would draw you into sin. Such were those that would tempt them to go to places of sinful indulgence and revelry, where time would be wasted and worse than wasted. As these temptations abounded, they ought therefore to be more especially on their guard against a sinful and unprofitable waste of time. This exhortation may be addressed to all and is applicable to all periods. The sentiment is that we ought to be solicitous, that is to say eager, to improve our time to some useful purpose, because there are, in an evil world, so many temptations to waste it. Time is given to us for most valuable purposes. There are things enough to be done to occupy it all, and no one need have it hang heavy on his hands. He that has a soul to be saved from eternal death need not have one idle moment. He that has a heaven to win has enough to do to occupy all his time. Man has just enough time given him to accomplish all the purposes which God designs, and God has not given him more than enough. And he says, they redeem their time who employ it, number one, in gaining useful knowledge, number two, in doing good to others, number three, in employing it for the purpose of an honest livelihood for themselves and families, number four, and in prayer and self-examination to make the heart better, number five, in seeking salvation and endeavoring to do the will of God. He says there are evil influences tending to waste time. Number one, in the allurements to pleasure and amusement in every place, and especially in cities. Number two, in the temptations to novel reading, consuming the precious hours of probation to no valuable purpose. And I believe when he says that, he doesn't mean novels in the sense that we think, like, say, historical books, but fiction or, you know, trivialities.
Fiction, that's right, triviality. Never forget, I met one deacon years ago. He said, I never read fiction. He said, I think it's sin. I said, I would agree to a certain extent. However, there are authors, there are Jesuit coadjutors that put their plans in the form of a fictional novel. But he's right. Waste of time.
Sure. Then there's historical fiction, too, like Eugene Sue's Wandering Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's extremely valuable history, but just relay, or even, I mean, you could even say Pilgrim's Progress in a roundabout way is mm-hmm. historical fiction. I mean, it's the Bible, but presented in an allegorical fashion. So,
yes.
you know, mm-hmm. we have to use discernment with these things.
Mm-hmm.
He says we also need to be on guard against the temptations of ambition. Most of the time spent for which is wholly thrown away, for few gain the prize, and when gained, it's all a bauble, not worth the effort. Of course, he means like fame or, you know, glory or your little Masonic Boy Scout pins and badges. And
it's kind of like speeding down the roadway over the speed limit only to get to the stop sign at the same time when someone was doing the speed limit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Number four, he says, in dissipation, for who can estimate the amount of valuable time that is worse than thrown away in the places of revelry and dissipation? Number five, in wild and visionary plans, temptations to which abound in all lands and preeminently in our own. And finally, in luxurious indulgence, in dressing and eating and drinking. And so that ends his commentary, and I conclude quoting 1 Thessalonians 5:8, which says, but let us who are of the day be sober, that is to say, self-controlled or watchful, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation.
Beautiful. Amen, my brother. Couldn't have said it better. And you were reading mostly Barnes there, correct?
Yes, nearly all of that was Barnes.
Great commentary on the Bible by Barnes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah, BibleHub.com has Barnes there for each verse, including a host of other commentators. And it's incredible because they're freely available. They're public domain. And, you know, if you're somebody that loves the Bible and maybe you have a difficult time understanding it, I mean, obviously you got to take everything with a grain of salt and ultimately compare scripture with scripture. But there's a lot there. It's extremely helpful and insightful. And usually when one of the commentators has it wrong, one of the other ones will have
That's
it
right.
right. So,
Amen. And our brethren of the past, we have an obligation to read what they wrote, because we can learn much from them, and they can give us shortcuts to the right conclusion that we don't have to, why invent the wheel again? Because they got it figured out, they wrote a great book, and so we just take that as our final conclusion on the matter and build on that. So yeah, that's wonderful.
That's right, amen. And most of these guys spent their lives devoted to studying the commentators and stuff before them and the scriptures, and so, you know, they're certainly more qualified than us in that regard, and we just, and it doesn't mean that they can't be wrong on things that God's given us light on, but the point is it's a shortcut, just like our books are intended to be for the person that didn't have the time to put in to do the research we have. then they can come in and immediately have, the talking points and the information at their disposal. Then go and prove that. The Bible says, prove all things.
Amen. Amen. Well said, my brother.
Amen. Okay. Well, to get into our feature presentation here, we're going to pick back up where we left off last week. And so, this notion of opportunists, we of course had just finished quoting Washington's farewell address, where he warned against a two-party system and opportunists using it to create division to seat themselves on top. This notion of opportunists promising favors to remedy the chaos and division that they themselves have created was well understood by the likes of John W. Robbins, who warned in his Ecclesiastical Megalomania in 1999. He said, "The Roman church state has frequently called for world government. The common good, so-called, is a great fiction used by the Roman church state to justify government control of society and economy." He says, "Few people understand the importance of the Roman church state in contemporary international affairs. Less well known are the Vatican's day-to-day, but very important activities related to issues across the whole spectrum of American concerns, including immigration policy, refugee resettlement, food and medicine distribution, narcotics control, and education," unquote. And what he puts forth here towards the end of this quote shines much light on the U.S. National Institute of Health's article, COOF-19, Health as Common Good, which outlined more quote-unquote equitable policies to be implemented in the realms of economics, food production, manufacturing, international diplomacy, immigration, and education. Ironically, the very things that Robbins warned that the papacy will tout that they are about in order to get people to accept their intermeddling in
Yeah,
state affairs.
universal equality under ignorance, stupidity, poverty, and carelessness, all the outworking of socialist communism or socialism, which the papacy totally backs and hates, the rugged individual, free enterprise, true competition in business, where businessmen compete with one another to build a better product for a cheaper price. The papacy hates it. And as I had one professor that taught me many years ago, Rick McCarter, he said, everything the Vatican has ever acquired, they stole it. So, amen. All their propaganda is just that. If we embrace it, that means our undoing and the death of Western civilization, everybody in poverty.
Amen, brother. Yeah, it's a gigantic satanic con artist game
Yes.
for those that don't study the Bible and history. You could really reduce it just to that simple.
Yeah. Great. Great conclusion.
Destroy us all. So, this purported concern for the subjects of empire can also be seen in the Vatican's international conferences. For instance, one was convened in 2018 titled Unite to Cure, a Global Healthcare Initiative: How Science, Technology, and 21st Century Medicine Will Impact Culture and Society. World leaders were again summoned to the Vatican in May of 2021, quote, to discuss the role of the mind, body, and soul in the future of healthcare, unquote. Naturally, this trend of health, caring about health supposedly, finds itself in the so-called satirical report from Iron Mountain, which we proved to be a factual study conclusion in our previous broadcast here. And on page 59 of that report, they say, "Health, drastic expansion of medical research, education and training facilities, hospital and clinic construction, the general objective of complete government guaranteed health care for all at a level consistent with current developments in medical technology."
Makes
Thus, it.
perfect sense because we have the Jewish communists, the Masonic Jewish communist Bernie Sanders, speaking a couple of days ago in Philadelphia for the Socialist Communist Jesuitical Illuminist May 1st Day, where thousands of people were in Philadelphia that are obviously Masonic, socialist, communist, led by that great pro-USSR, Jewish traitor to his own people, Bernie Sanders.
Amen. Well put. And so it is that the Vatican uses these healthcare conferences and whatnot, these laudable sounding pretenses and appeals to things as personal as dear as one's health in order to aggrandize herself and do wickedly. And usually, those of us who are in a position where we've been so crushed down we can't afford these things, it's because of what they're doing to the market and the economy and crushing us with taxes. And then they say, oh, well, we love you and we'll take care of you. Trust us.
You'll have nothing and you'll enjoy it. Thanks, Jesuit Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, exactly. You'll enjoy the Royal Inquisition.
Yes. That's right. That's what it is.
Yes, sir. So getting back to Archbishop Sarondo's statements that we quoted last week, that we're not misinterpreting them when we infer the implementation of global communism, such sentiments could also be heard clearly expressed from the Jesuit Superior General himself in June of 2020. In a news report from Rome Reports titled Arturo Sosa, Democracy Could Be Among Victims of COVID-19, they begin the report by stating, as countries gradually return to normality, the Superior General of the Jesuits thinks it shouldn't be a phase of reconstruction. Arturo then states, I would avoid using the word reconstruction because what we don't want to do is rebuild what was there before. I think we need to go into a phase more about self-critiquing at the global level, about what the crisis is teaching us. The reporter then states, Arturo Sosa notes that the papal demic has revealed that the current economic model leads to higher levels of inequality and that economic paralysis has further widened the gap between socioeconomic classes. Arturo
Like
the
it has the rich and the poor. Yeah. Only have the rich, the super rich, which is a minority, and the poor. That's universal equality. That's more equity. That's what they really want. Return to the dark ages means no middle class.
Well, sure, and they're the one that have created this to be this bad at this state, and then they appeal to this sharp divide to get people to embrace their communism.
Exactly right.
So then Arturo then states, we hope the situation, this is after they destroyed the economy with the lockdowns, helps people see that our economic mo that other, sorry, economic models are possible. And I don't know about you, Brother Eric, but the only other economic model I'm familiar with other than capitalism is communism.
Right, it's either one or the other. He that doesn't work, neither let him eat. That's laissez-faire, free enterprise. It's not about working for the corporations. And so, that's right, we either I can become individuals with personal private wealth measured in money that has intrinsic value, to which we have title to and can't be taken from us through a seizure, which is a military operation, to then being reduced to socialist communism, where everybody's universally equal under the tyranny of their military government, because all communist governments are military dictatorships, like this one.
Amen, brother. So he then says, it's much easier to find a jibby jab jab for the Sharona bug than the jibby jab jab for selfishness, war, and the possibility of having a more equitable distribution of wealth than we have now, which is quite ironic that the Superior General of the Jesuits should be preaching against selfishness and war and these sorts of things, since they are the chief architects of this new world disorder,
Correct.
destruction.
And the Jesuit order is so fabulously rich, it's beyond our wildest dreams. And they want to talk about equity and equality and reduce the difference of inequality in economic positions. It's utter hypocrisy, utter lies and deception.
It's narcissistic gaslighting, and it's irony at its
Yes.
finest.
Yes. Narcissistic gaslighting. Very good.
Yes, sir. And so it's no wonder that with COVID-19, we saw headlines such as government suspends private property until July 31st. Any movable and immovable property may be requisitioned. And that came out of Italy in 2020, March 19th. In the U.S., we saw headlines such as Chicago mayor suspends all debt collections due to the Sharona bug. That was March 18th, 2020. And then on May 12th, 2020, it was announced that the U.S. Treasury borrowed $3 trillion for papal demic relief programs. And of course, we documented in a previous broadcast, one of our probably first 10, that a great deal of that money went to the Catholic Church.
Yes, sir, just like United Way.
Yeah, sir. Then Trump's Families First Act allotted another $1 billion for unemployment and insurance benefits, further destroying the value of the American dollar.
And
After.
further precipitating the replacement of the dollar with another currency, which they have in planning.
Yes, sir. Some central bank digital currency, no doubt.
And we got to get all those white Anglo-Saxon Protestants off our money. What a bunch of racists. Because every bill has a white man on it that's historically Protestant or Baptist or favors it. No Catholics on any American money.
Sure, and I'm sure that they don't want any notes of exchange or anything or real currency because they want everything to be done on a favor basis. There's no equal exchange for labor and, reward. They just want everything to be loosey-goosey, do as we say. So then there was the federal eviction moratorium, which protected citizens being evicted who failed to pay their rent. $46 billion was allotted by Congress to help renters remain stably housed. So this is the kind of redistribution of wealth we saw with COVID-19. A year after COVID-19, according to one report, over one-third of all U.S. citizens' income was coming from the government. One-third.
Really?
And that was from a Zero Hedge article.
That would include socialist insecurity also, I'm sure.
Oh, sure. But what an incredible number.
Incredible. One third, you said?
One third, yes, sir. But sadly, that wasn't the end of the exorbitantly careless government handouts. On the heels of COVID-19 came the so-called invasion of Ukraine by Russia, which resulted in the U.S. government giving nearly $50 billion in assistance to Ukraine. Where's all this money coming from, Brother Eric?
Yeah, through the creation, the magical creation of credit in the hands of the Pope's Federal Reserve Bank.
That and the taxpayer that's getting it,
Well, they're on the hook for it. Yeah, they're on the hook for that creation of credit. Because they're the surety for that U.S. citizen. Which will not include us when we become the pre-Marginalized private citizen. It's another benefit of returning to private citizenship status. You're not bound to be surety for the all caps that's a taxpayer that owes this huge, massive debt in excess now, I think, of $250,000 each. If you go to the
Sure.
debt clock, if you go to the U.S. debt clock, you can see how much every U.S. citizen or every U.S. taxpayer owes.
Interesting. On average, what did they just average it out on every citizen based on the global debt, or sorry, the
Based on the
national
national
debt?
debt. And you can see it when you're on that chart there, the numbers are constantly spinning. Intriguing. U.S. debt clock is an intriguing document.
Yeah, I've seen that before. It is all very fascinating and complicated. So, of course, everything that we just covered represent the very type of global social welfare programs that were outlined in the so-called satirical report from Iron Mountain, as we had read, I think it was the last broadcast. But as reflected in the German sociologist Max Weber's book, The Protestant Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism, published in 1905, the antithesis of communism is intrinsically Protestant. And so it's no marvel that we should find communism being championed by the papacy as an arm of the Counter-Reformation.
Absolutely, my brother.
And when you think about it, it's a brilliant strategy to reduce to poverty the historically Protestant working middle class by taking from them and giving to the generally unproductive and vice-laden so they can promote more sin, so then God has to judge us, and then they get more power and control over the sin. I mean, I'm here in a little small town in Western New York, and I mean, my wife and I went out earlier, and we probably saw 20 or 30 different sheriffs and state troopers and local. I mean, there's police everywhere. This is a very low crime rate area, and we're like just thinking, man, it just looks like a recipe for people getting pulled over for just about anything and everything. You get a bunch of bored officers in a little town, and
bored officers with a quota.
There you go. Yeah.
I was shocked to hear that police officers are actually given a quota of tickets to write. What a sin and a crime.
Amen. And my father was a sheriff for 27 years. He was a lieutenant. He was a good man and he meant well. And for better or for worse, he would generally avoid all that. And he'd go read a newspaper somewhere or iron some clothes.
He
wanted to help people, and he'd take young men aside that would get jammed up and, you know, challenge them to do better and get their lives together. And he wasn't there to, you know, give people a hard time.
Good.
So while there can be no doubt regarding the communistic nature of the New World Order, from an interview with the Superior General dated October 23rd, 2020, titled The Papal Demic, A Challenge and a Great Opportunity, we start to get a clearer view of the religious element in it all. With a crooked smile visibly breaking through, Arturo states, "The COVID-19 papal demic has taken us all by surprise. It has arrived, as the gospel would say, like a thief, without warning. We've had to adapt, overnight, to new realities. This time may be an opportunity, paradoxically, for the creating of a hopeful future that can contribute to the universal, or Catholic, fraternity to which Pope Francis invites us in his recent encyclical, Fratelli Tutti. We are all together." Of course, the listeners will recall that this was the same sentiment expressed by Sosa in the webinar that we had covered in broadcasts number 5 and 22, where he said, "The COVID-19 crisis is bringing consolation and lighting up different aspects of the path to God, the journey of humanity to God," as he called it.
The path to God, the journey of humanity to God. When, according to the Bible, no man seeks after God. So that's a complete and total lie, contrary to what the Bible teaches.
It says the whole world lieth in wickedness.
Oh.
And the man of sin certainly can't, or the son of perdition, or these papal mystery of iniquity servants.
He's the champion of it. Every pope is there filling the place of the coming final pope to be the Antichrist. And so they're going to continue their quest, the devil using them to further his mystery of iniquity. And that's why every pope is a placeholder for the final pope. And therefore, every pope is an Antichrist.
I don't know if you...
It used to be believed, brother.
Amen. I don't know if you saw this or not, Brother Eric, but in the last 24 hours, the official White House X account tweeted a picture, AI generated, of Donald Trump as Pope.
Yeah, I saw that. And then they gave the video. Yeah, I'd like to be Pope. Well, you see, Trump knows the power of the Pope.
Sure.
Trump's rums elbows with the super rich and powerful, like the Aldo Brandinis and others. He knows exactly the power of the Pope.
Well, that's what's interesting. I saw one headline on it. I think it was the India Times, but it said, "Make the Vatican great again." And then that's when it occurred to me. It's like, yeah, Trump's whole spiel is, make America great again and stuff. And here he is representing himself, as the Pope. So it's almost, if you read it, between the lines, it's saying, we're going to make the papacy great again. It's like, well, yeah, this is exactly what Hitler did.
There'll be a coming American dictator who will be loyal to the Pope when he imposes his new right fascism or quasi-fascism here. And that's what Martin Lee warned against, 20 years ago.
Yes, sir, and a host of others too.
Indeed.
So now, all these things bring us back to this notion of the common good, which we've seen cropping up over and over again over the course of our podcast. While the concept ultimately goes back to ancient Greek and Roman philosophy, the term itself is fundamentally a Jesuitical one. It first appears in Pope Paul III's bull, Exposita Debitum, or The Duty Requires, which was published in 1550, which represented a second and final approval to the foundation of the Society of Jesus, i.e., the Jesuits. It also appears in Pope John XXIII's 1961 encyclical, Mater et Magistra, or Mother and Teacher, where it is used 27 times and opens with the words, "Mother and Teacher of all nations, such is the Catholic Church in the mind of her founder, Jesus Christ." And
Yeah, the Holy Mother. Holy Mother Catholic Church. That's right. The great harlot riding the beast to Revelation 17. Amen.
yes, sir, with daughters too, many daughters.
Yes, many daughters.
And so this notion here, which they're championing of the papacy being the mother and teacher of all nations, in the mind of her so-called founder, Jesus Christ, of course, he did not found the Catholic Church. This reflects the papacy's inherent belief of divine right.
Amen. Divine right is a keystone for them. Absolutism and then divine right. They have absolute power and they rule by divine right. So you have no right to resist what we say to you, boy.
Yes, sir. And so, what exactly do these teachings that they want to impart on us entail? Well, according to their definitions, according to uscatholic.org, the common good represents the task of creating a good life for all members of society. Well, that's, of course, socialism. According to the Jesuits at Santa Clara University, it entails replacing the current ethic of individual rights with an ethic of the common good.
And that's a total repudiation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yes, sir. And it also implies fascism, as it requires the abdication of individual liberty and a central authority to decide just what the common good is at any given moment and what needs to be done, and by who in order to achieve it.
Exactly right.
And that means, if we have no individual rights, that means global slavery and torture.
That's right. Well, the Holy Office of the Inquisition, run by the Pope through his divine right nobles, and everybody else is trash to be trashed at the behest of the Vatican.
Yes, sir. And so, of course, this is our 53rd broadcast. Each of them has been nearly an hour long. And once again, we see all the dots connect. So we say, can all of these matters just be one giant coincidence? Well, at least not according to the likes of the Italian mayor and member of the Chamber of Deputies, Vittorio Sgarbi, who stated in April of 2020 that we needed to be united in truth against dictatorships, and that according to documented science, COVID-19 is just a regular influenza, and the deaths were being massively inflated for the purposes of rhetoric, causing terror, and ultimately imposing a dictatorship.
Amen. And the greatest dictator in the world is the Pope.
That's right, behind them all.
All the lower dictators take their marching orders from him, and if they don't what he do what he tells them to do, he calls out the American war machine to punish that dictator, remove him from power, and put somebody else in there that's going to do the job, like in Panama or other places.
Yes, sir. Reigneth over the kings of the earth, Revelation 17. We also had a German ear, nose, and throat doctor, Guido Hoffman, state that none of this had anything to do with a bug, in other words, a virus, but rather that it was all about imposing a dictatorship. In a similar vein, we had the Israeli Minister of Health caught on camera saying to the Minister of Interior that, quote, there is no medical or epidemiological justification for the COVID-19 passport. It is only intended to pressure the un-jibby-jab-jabbed to do the jibby-jab-jab.
And that's why the government of Israel is evil. It is subject to the Pope, and it rules the beloved Hebrew Jewish Israelitish people of the Abrahamic covenant for the benefit of the Pope and to their detriment. That's why they're not really allowed to excel in what they do. You got to keep them down. No real leaders. And Barry Chambers was very, very spoken out, outspoken about this in the works that he wrote.
Yes, sir. Amen. As of September 2021, more than 7,800 doctors and scientists officially accused COVID-19 policymakers of crimes against humanity in a document known as the Physicians' Declaration.
And who put that out, brother?
Well, the document was called the Physicians' Declaration. And you can find an article on RFK Jr.'s childrenhealthdefense.org discussing it, dated, ironically, get this, as I'm just seeing it before me now, September 27th, 2021. And you informed the listeners of that date, September 27th.
Indeed.
That's the date that the order was instituted by Bull in 1540, yeah?
That's right. That's when Paul III brought them into the papacy with that bull. That bull that he created them, bringing them in, so that they would be the new Knights Templars to do all the military advancing for the purpose of the papacy's advocating its temporal power. And of course, Loyola was a soldier. The Jesuits were the new Knights Templars. Knights of the Virgin Mary first called, and then of course the Society of Jesus, which has nothing to do with Jesus Christ in the Bible. But they are the most powerful military order in the world and do always do the bidding of the Pope, and if the Pope goes against them, well, that'll be the end of that Pope.
Yes, sir. Like John Paul I, right?
Amen. Amen.
So, like sentiments had been expressed by Vladimir Khvakov, for instance, who was a Russian colonel intelligence officer with a PhD in military science. He stated in a March 2020 interview, the Sharona bug phenomenon that they falsely deem a real papal demic needs to be examined from the perspective of global powers, religious, political, financial, economic, and national. There's no real papal demic. It's all a lie. Needs to be considered as a global strategic special operation. These are
Yes.
co Amen. He said, you go
Special
ahead,
ops, the
brother.
black op, that's right. And a Russian is saying this.
Yes, sir. Vladimir Vakhov or Kvakov, Kvachkov. He further stated, these are command and staff exercises of the world's behind-the-scenes powers on controlling humanity. This is what the goal of the Sharona bug is. We have little faith in God and even less in the existence of Satan, the enemy of the human race. So the aim of the behind-the-scenes powers is reducing the world's population. It's their idée fixe, or preoccupation of mind. They think there's too many of us ordinary people in the world. There should be around 100 million of their own kind and a maximum of 1 billion on Earth to serve them. Then they'll be living in abundance here on Earth. These command and staff exercises, the behind-the-scenes world powers have an aim to limit different political rights and to make people afraid. And the third goal is related to finances and power over the economy.
Absolutely. It's one hit from 10 different directions. They're the great Hegelian boys that can institute one thing from this direction, another direction, another direction, all centered on one particular point to destroy the Reformation, the middle class, the white race nations, they got to go. And bring in all these Africans and Middle East blacks to further miscegenate and destroy the white race nations, because only white race nations have ever successfully resisted the papacy. No blacks, no Hispanics, no Asians. They never, ever successfully did it. Only the white nations of Northern Europe.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yep. And so to close this chapter, this is the last podcast we'll be doing on this particular chapter. And of course, through the whole, we dealt in great part by taking an examination of the state of things in China. We quote next from Foreign Affairs, and that's, of course, the official organ of the Council on Foreign Relations. They had published an article in September of 2019 titled, "Coming Soon to the United Nations, Chinese Leadership and Authoritarian Values." Now, this takes us back to one of the most well-known quotes of world leaders calling for a new world order, indicating that the new world order would consist of UN hegemony. In announcing the commencement of the Gulf War on January 16, 1991, George H.W. Bush declared, "We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders."
Peacekeeping role. You mean policing role of martial law worldwide. Yeah. Peacekeeping.
Yes, sir. And of course, they have their foot soldiers wear those Marion blue helmets.
Yes.
Just like
and they're going to be having AI too. They're going to have their AI soldiers.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Just like if you look up why the EU flag is blue, it'll talk about Mary, and blue is the color of Mary. And
is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It's pretty bizarre. And I think that if I recall correctly, I think there's the 12 yellow stars, and it talks about, you know, how the papacy and or Augustine interpret, you know, the woman in Revelation 12 with the star for the crown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They're going to make that woman in Revelation 12 Rome when it's Israel and not Rome. Yeah. Because the 12 stars are the 12 tribes, of course. Go ahead, brother.
Sure. So now, bearing this quote of George H.W. in mind, we, of course, recall that in podcast 17, we had demonstrated the Catholicity of the UN with the connection of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin as one of the founders. And in light of Archbishop Sarando's indication that communist China is a model of Catholic social doctrine of the common good, which we had quoted a couple.
What a tremendous statement. Say that again, brother, please.
So according to Archbishop Sordando, he stated that communist China is a model of Catholic social doctrine of the common good.
Wow. So communism is Catholicism. So we should be able to tell all these Chinese from mainland China they're under Catholicism, under the guise of communism, atheistic communism.
Yes, sure. And when we first began this survey of this chapter, we documented just the extent of concentration camps there, and that, you know, there was orders from on high at these prisons to encourage repentance and all these other confession, all these other religious terms. And so that's exactly right. And so if this authoritarianism represents, well, and if, according to this foreign affairs, it's coming to the UN, and the UN evidently is going to represent what the New World Order entails, their control, then we can just expect that, yeah, that again, it all comes full circle. This is the New World Order is global Catholicism, global Inquisition, global enslavement and torture.
That's right. Destruction of national boundaries, destruction of individualities, and you got to have that if you're going to have that consummation. So, and they put this on us by the income tax to destroy the middle class through that misappropriation of the code. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. And so basically, yeah, we've come full circle now. There can be no question who's ultimately behind the New World Order or what its general aims are. We also see the role that COVID-19 played in just continuing to ratchet up all the tyranny and to pave the way for the next pieces of the puzzle they're going to put in. We've learned that the tyranny and human rights abuses of modern day communist China are identical to those that took place in Nazi Germany, and that these movements are fundamentally just modern day manifestations of the Inquisition, masquerading as political movements, aimed at destroying the vestiges of Protestantism and reestablishing papal supremacy. Touching back on the parasite stress hypothesis we covered in broadcast number 37, we saw how the fear and general sense of disgust resulting from such a ubiquitous invisible enemy, as Trump called it, as a bug, VIRUS, it was the perfect means of shifting the collective psyche of the masses to be more likely to embrace such a totalitarian state. The
When
contact.
you got the control of the press, and they're both all saying it, no matter if it's the right Fox Wing or the left MSNBC, it's all the same song. And they both embrace the Pope. So create this division, which is really not a division, then justify the extremes of everybody's got to get the shot. It's just a tremendously well-orchestrated design where tens of thousands are involved, like Sean Hannity and a host of others.
Yes, sir. And in concluding also what we've covered hitherto, the contact tracing and isolation measures that were required to mitigate the purported public health crisis served as the perfect pretense to round up enemies of the New World Order, and the lockdowns and business closures, like the papal interdicts of old, as a perfect way to put the masses on an economic footing where they'd be more inclined to embrace socialism. So that's kind of a little summary of some of the stuff we've covered hitherto. And this is going to conclude today's podcast. And over the next few chapters, which, that'll be probably tens of podcasts, we're going to return to an analysis of the more esoteric side of COVID-19. This will serve as a means of further elucidating just what exactly underlies the COVID-19 agenda and just what these people have in store for us should they be successful. And so, in closing, I ask rhetorically, isn't it ironic that the common good could result in so much evil becoming commonplace?
That's right. Absolutely. It's all taught in the major universities too. So if you've got your degree, you're a socialist. First 2 years with your associate of arts degree is socialism and anti-Christ, anti-God humanism. They go hand in hand, which is communism and governments like China and Russia. So well said, my brother. Very good. So
Yes,
if you want
sir.
to go ahead and you summarize the matter, if you want to give your contact info where people can send you gifts, that would be great.
Yes, sir. So my name is Stephen Drake, author of the upcoming book, Jesuit World Order: The History and Destiny of Man, explored through the lens of COVID-19. Find us online, jesuitworldorder.org. I may be reached as Stephen@jesuitworldorder.org. Please send us a gift in honor of our labors and to ensure the continuance of this heritage of the Lord. Please send your checks to Stephen Drake, P.O. Box 9, Brockton, New York, 14716. Alternatively, you may send them by PayPal, sdrake088@gmail.com, or Cash App at #. Jesuit World Order. And in closing, to give the listeners a little bit of exciting news, to my dear wife's great joy and excitement, we just found out that our second child is going to be a little girl, and we are going to be naming her Esther Victoria after the book of the Bible, the book of Providence.
Wonderful, wonderful, my brother. I'm delighted. So is she going to give birth shortly? Or?
She's due in October, probably right around the same time that this little guy next to me was born. And so he's going to be a big brother, just about a year older.
Wonderful. Delightful. Well, brother, I'm so happy for you. You have a wonderful family, children. Teach them, nurture, and admonition of the Lord, and be the godly man that you are, of course, and continue to serve the Lord with gladness as we have these podcasts. So I want to thank you for being on again. I always learn something from you, brother. So thank you for your hard work. And again, you've given your contact info. And this is Brother Eric John Phelps at 24/7 World Radio Podcast on May the 3rd, 2025, on this Saturday. And may the Lord bless you as you continue to do his will according to his word, the AV 1611 Reformation English Bible, as you have believed the true gospel of 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again, and has commanded all men everywhere to repent, according to Acts 17:30, that you might truly believe on the one whom he hath sent, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So until next time we meet, the Lord bless you. Maranatha.
Amen. Maranatha, brother. Mm-hmm.